Cycle. Welcome to the 1 o'clock no sour haha funny hour. No sour, happy, fun time, haha, power hour. Welcome to the no sour fun time haha power hour.
Oh, she did it.
I got it.
I think she's got it. By George, she's got it.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin! Welcome to the 1 o'clock hour of As Goes Wisconsin. I am your host, Kristen Bry. Greg Bach is here because it is Greg Bach Hump Day Wednesday. Greg Bach, what is this hour called?
The No Sour Ha Ha Fun Time Power Hour.
What did I say when I thought I got it?
I have no idea.
Whatever.
It's right for today.
Oh, you know what, Jane? Can you ever be on my side? Ever? Ever?
Who do you think got me this job, Greg Bach?
Who do you think got me? Oh, darn it. Shoot. I'm in.
And of course, we have Jane Matinere, and we are so excited for our guest this segment. So this is 4 years in the making. After extensive planning and collaboration amongst a team of noted Wisconsin theater professionals, World Premiere Wisconsin starts today. And so it is a theater festival that will run until June 30th. And it's happening throughout the state, from the tip of Door County to the state line and across 20 different distinct zip codes. And today we are joined by two creators of the festival, Michael Cody, who's the festival producer of World Premiere Wisconsin, and Jen Uphoff-Gray, who's the artistic director for Forward Theater Company, and who I'm told is the brainchild of this whole thing. And so welcome to the show, guys.
Absolutely. Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much.
So let's just start with, what is World Premiere Wisconsin beyond what I just described?
Sure. And I will note that not only is today the first day of the festival, but it is also officially World Premiere Wisconsin Day as proclaimed by the governor.
Congratulations.
That's very cool.
Paper.
I know. Lots of whereases. So the festival really was established, and like you said, we've been working on this for about 4.5 years now. So pre-COVID, pre all of that. And there were really three big goals. One of them was getting theater makers all across the state talking to each other, working together on a big project, right? That's how you build relationships. It's how you get a professional network, peers you can turn to for other things beyond just this big project, right? It's a great community building exercise. So that was one. Another big goal was just to get a little bit of attention, not just within the state, but outside the state, for the incredible artistic work that is created here. I lived in New York for many years, okay, and it is incredible the sense that nothing else happens, especially in the theater, if you're not in downtown New York City.
Yeah.
And we all know that that's not remotely true, and incredibly exciting work happens here. So that was one of the motivations, was to get some attention on the work that is generated here in the state. And then the third was to promote the development of new work. And by having a big festival that can shine a marketing spotlight as well on this work, it can help mitigate some of the risks people can feel when they're doing a show that doesn't have a well-known title, right? That is venturing out on a limb to try something new. So those were our big, real goals. And then when COVID happened, the great thing is that all of the participating theaters said, oh, yeah, no, we're still good to do this. We're not backing off. But we did then add a goal for the festival of telling this really positive, exciting story about theater and the arts in our state at a time when we're really rebuilding.
Yeah, and we've covered that before. We're based closer to Milwaukee, and knowing that across the state, but certainly in Milwaukee, as far as the rebuilding of that, that was one of the things that shows got shut down, and there's only so many Zoom shows you can do, especially to charge money to go to a Zoom show. And so trying to get people back in the theaters, getting people to buy tickets, because we need patronage to keep places open. And so I'm so excited about this. So give more details as far as the different communities, the different theaters that are involved. Like it's 50 different theaters across 20 different locations.
Yeah, Michael, you're liking this?
Absolutely. So, you know, we've got at the core of the festival, we have 11 festival theaters. There are quote unquote professional theaters. They're companies that hire equity actors. They're doing full productions. They run from Milwaukee to Madison to Door County, like these three major communities. And then we have this large list of participating groups. And this is our community theaters, semi-amateur groups, academic groups. And they're all over the place, in those three communities, but everywhere in between. And what I think is really awesome about this and really showed Monday night at our kickoff event is that this event is really leveling the playing field of what it means to be a theater professional in Milwaukee. Sorry, in the state of Wisconsin. Yeah. You know, like everybody who was there, it felt like we were talking about it this morning, Jen and I, like, it felt like a cast of characters I hadn't seen collected together in one room before. And that was really great. We read the proclamation from the governor out loud, and you had folks from a wide range of theater companies. And so that idea of, like, let's break down some of the barriers that we sometimes self-impose between what's professional or not professional, or what's in Milwaukee or in Madison. Let's just think about ourselves as a larger Wisconsin theater ecosystem and how we all really rely on each other. So it's just amazing. We saw a little sampling of just five of the productions last Monday night. And just to already see the range of the work, just in five little snippets of what we're doing with this festival, which is telling the story of Wisconsin, like who we are, what we're about, and, you know, what we possibly can become.
We're talking to the, I guess, founders, but the festival producer, Michael Cody, and the artistic director of Forward Theater Company, and also founder of World Premiere Wisconsin, which is a statewide festival of theater. And so give people an idea. So is all of the work that's going to be played, it's all original work by Wisconsin playwrights?
A lot of it is by Wisconsin playwrights. Some of it is by others. What is part of the festival is all being produced by Wisconsin theater companies,
Okay. Created
by Wisconsin artists. Many of the pieces are, as we are tagging it, locally brewed by Wisconsin playwrights, but also some of the most produced playwrights in America are debuting new works as part of this festival.
Oh.
Currently running at Milwaukee Rep is The Heart Sellers by Lloyd Tse. His play, The Chinese Lady, was like one of the most produced scripts in America last season. Here at Forward, we're doing a new play called Artemisia by Lauren Gunderson.
She's interviewed her. The opera?
Yeah. Well, it's totally, there's an opera here too, which is this zeitgeist moment that we commissioned this play about this painter.
Oh my
and
gosh.
And someone wrote an opera. We've already been talking to each other
That literally was this week. We just interviewed. And they're both named Laura. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. So Lauren Gunderson, she lives in the Bay Area, but has had a lot of her work produced across Wisconsin stages. We commissioned this new play 4 years ago from her about Artemisia. So yeah, that's a huge zeitgeist thing. That's just so cool. But these are some of the biggest playwrights in American theater who are having new works debut as part of this festival. So that's part of it, but also incredible events to bring Wisconsin playwrights to the forefront as well.
And so it's all straight theater, no musical theater.
Nope. There's new musicals too.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh boy. Kristen's going to be
North
crazy.
County. Yeah. Northern Sky is doing a new musical called The Fish Whisperer this summer. Right now in Madison, Cap City Theater is running a new Stephen King parody called Shining in Misery. that is so funny. Musicals, plays, theater, big capital T.
Oh, wow. And so what is the expectation as far as, like, because you also created like a passport, right? As far as being able to kind of track everything that is happening for people who really want to get as much as they can out of the festival between now and June 30th.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's one of the great collateral benefits of trying a big new idea is that you get to try new ways of engaging people to come see shows. And, you know, we are in this place where we're trying to get people to come back to the theater, but not just the theaters that they love, like go see theater where you haven't been before, like travel the state a little bit. So our website, worldpremierewisconsin.com, has a listing of everything going on in the festival. The full calendar is there. But you can also sign up for a digital passport, which lists everything in there. You just use your email and phone number gets sent to you. You don't have to download anything. And as you go to the shows, there's a check-in code. And you check in and you earn points. And you keep seeing shows, you earn points. And you can redeem those points for cool world premiere Wisconsin swag or be entered into sweepstakes that we'll have throughout the festival. And it's just, you know, just from the get-go, this idea that Jen, you know, came up with, no one's done anything like this before. Like, literally, like, not only have we not done this in Wisconsin before, but no one's done a theater festival that spans the whole state and is ambitious in the scale and scope like World Premiere Wisconsin. And something like that needs new tools and resources to engage audience members. So we're really excited about the passport. We really hope, you know, people engage with it and we can use it as a way to keep nudging people to, you know, send them a message and say like, hey, we saw you checked in. Go check out this show next weekend and keep them coming to the theater.
Absolutely. So I guess with something that is this big, are you guys already planning for next year? Or are you just trying to get through the next 2 months?
Three months? We just started today. Come on.
I really feel very confident that there will be a repeat of World Premiere Wisconsin.
Okay.
I don't think this is an every year kind of thing.
Okay.
You know, developing new work is a multi-year process. You have to, you know, it takes a long time to build a new piece of theater. And so our goal right now is to get through this first festival and then really check in with all of the people who made it happen to find out, you know, what's a timeline for coming back and doing this again that works for people. So right now our big goal is get it up, make it done well,
absolutely,
attract people, and then we'll go from there.
So far as the reception you guys have received, all positive?
Yeah, it's been great.
I can only imagine.
Oh my gosh.
So final question for both of you then. What shows, if you have to pick one show that you would recommend people definitely, whether it's to travel in their own backyard, but definitely that they see, what would you recommend?
You can't do that.
That's
all
rude.
Of them. No, I just think go see the things that are open right now.
Okay.
There are things that are open right now in Madison and in Milwaukee. And then there's going to be more coming, you know, pretty much every weekend for the next 4 months. There is a world premiere happening somewhere in the state. So see one now and then get excited to go see another one.
All right. Well, I love it. I'm so excited to check these out. This is an unbelievable undertaking. This is so cool that's happening in Wisconsin because I grew up doing theater here. And so to highlight all the great theater that is still happening here and it happens every year is awesome. And so Michael Cody, Jen Uphoff-Gray, thank you so much for joining us today. And we will link all of the information on our show notes for the today.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Thank you.
All right. Stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Trying this.
I mean, I have the hiccups right now.
There it is. Okay.
As you guys can see right now, I have the hiccups and they're not very fun.
Okay, I have the hiccups. They're gone! My hiccups are gone and those were painful ones too.
Hiccups gone.
And it's gone. Ta-da! One sip.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madner. Greg Bach is baffled.
I was panicking because I thought I did something wrong. Like, I thought something on my phone was playing into the... I had no idea.
So that was a commercial for a new scientific cure to the hiccups.
Okay.
It's a $15 straw.
Oh, forget it.
That, I guess, is proven by science because it's like bigger at the bottom. And so it creates a certain amount of pressure to help with your hiccups. And
I want, that's the quote of the week. It's proven by science.
Proven by science.
Because it's bigger at the bottom.
But literally when you look at the, I mean, Jane just played it. So we only heard the audio.
There's visuals to
but
go
the,
along
the
with
commercial,
it.
It's like, it's just like it's a plastic straw that's very wide at the bottom. Now I got the hiccups. What if the hiccups were contagious, like a yawn?
That would be bad.
That would be the worst. It'd
be like a zombie outbreak.
So I thought this would be an opportunity to save you $15, and we could all share our best hiccup remedies.
I've got a foolproof one.
Me too.
I have a foolproof one.
Me too.
All right, who's going first? Jane, you go first.
Okay. I will demonstrate on the stream.
Okay.
And try to describe it as best as I can. Take a pen or a pencil. You hold it in your teeth like this.
Okay.
And you drink a glass of water.
I've never heard that one.
If you can manage not to drown yourself, it will work.
Does it get messy?
Well, you gotta, it's tricky.
Because how do you?
It's doable. Trust me, I've done it.
It feels like it would be easier with a bottle of water than a glass of water. Because you have to like pour it because your lip's not there to like cup the glass, right?
This is doable.
Okay, I see what you're doing. I see what you're doing.
You're
going
to get a text in a week saying, I spilled all over myself.
Well, there's a warning that goes along with that. So.
Okay.
All right, Greg, what do you do?
My foolproof involves no pen.
No pen.
No third party.
Does it involve a
water.
Liquid?
Okay. Yes. All you do, you got the hiccups, you fill up a glass of water. After the most recent hiccup, there you go. You take a deep breath, you hold it, you drink as much water as you possibly can. When you're done drinking as much as you can, you don't have to drink the whole cup, just drink as much as you can. Breathe out. So you hold your breath, drink, pull away, breathe out. It has never not worked.
Okay.
I just saved y'all $15.
I'm afraid I'm gonna choke to death.
Oh, I'm sorry. Mine doesn't include choking hazard.
I feel like yours looks a lot more like waterboarding.
Yeah.
It's hiccup boarding.
Yours seems like a dare.
So ours, I think this is from my mom's side of the family, is taking a napkin or a washcloth of some kind of fabric and putting it over a glass of water and then drinking the entire glass of water through the fabric. And it always works. It always works. Except I remember doing this.
Except.
I did this at a restaurant when my dad's parents were taking care of us. And they were a little bit more, at least this is how my memory was. Because it was my brother and I. And I did it at a restaurant. And they were wildly embarrassed.
isn't the one thing that all these techniques have in common is that you were drinking an entire glass of water without breathing?
Well, mine is just as much as you possibly can. If you can drink the whole glass, that's fine. But yours both seem wackadoodle.
And I don't know, because sometimes it's the same theory as like getting scared of having someone scare you. And so it just like takes your mind off of it. The another one I've heard that I haven't tried, my brother swears by this one. And he says it's a way classier way to do it.
Oh.
Of course.
Ew.
Is taking a lemon wedge and putting bitters on the lemon wedge and then sucking on the bitters and lemon wedge. And that
sounds like someone who has a home bar.
You don't have bitters at your house?
Maybe not, but not everybody has bitters.
Not everyone has bitters, but I guess if you're at a restaurant, it's something that the restaurant would have. Your
grandparents would be far less embarrassed by you doing that.
Then
server, bring me one lemon wedge and some bitters, for I have the hiccups. I will say this, though. There's one thing that doesn't cover in there with the whole, like, you know, straw proven by science. I don't always get hiccups from liquid. I get hiccups from spicy food sometimes.
Yeah.
So that straw will be doing me no good. No good when there's some hot sauce happening in my body.
But once the hiccups are there,
is the straw to prevent hiccups from ever happening, or
no,
is the straw to cure the hiccups?
To cure.
Oh, the okay, never mind. I thought that
once
was
you have
oh,
them.
Yeah. I like my way better. I've literally saved hundreds of dollars never buying that straw over time.
Over time? I think it's reusable.
You're going to lose it. You're going to lose that big bottom straw. Big bottom straws make the rocket world go around because science says so.
All right. Well, if you have a go-to remedy for the hiccups to avoid having to buy this $15 straw, 844-967-2789. That's 844-96.
Party.
Party. Shoot us a text with your remedy. But when we come back, Milwaukee famous chef Adam Pollock is here, fresh off his, well, I won't say. He was on national television again last night in another cooking competition. We will not spoil how he fared, but he will be here with us when we come back. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Well, I was feeling love, but my baby made me go down to the honky-tonk and deal. chef Adam Pawlak calls out his former friend, the Michelin star trained Declan Horgan, for betraying him on Hell's Kitchen.
I cannot wait to take the big Irishman down.
Adam, it's not me that got you booted off Hell's Kitchen. It was yourself. Your own worst enemy.
This ain't going home with you.
Let's go.
This is Super Chef Grudge Match.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jay Metnair. And Greg Bach is also here because it's Wednesday. And also joining us is one of Milwaukee's most famous chefs, Adam Pawlak, who was back on national television last night in a new Food Network cooking competition called Super Chef Grudge Match. And his first national TV appearance was when he was on season 19 of Hell's Kitchen in 2021. And you, should we save how it ended and build the suspense of how the show went last night, Adam?
Yeah, no one watched last night.
No one watched. It's not like you had a huge viewing party at your restaurant, Egg and Flour. No one was there.
I totally did. It was fun.
So let's just talk. The premise of the show is what? We heard a little bit in the bumper music, but like, what is Super Chef Grudge Match?
Yeah, so they have two chefs that are maybe have a friendly grudge in the kitchen or something that they need to settle, and they want to have them come together, and they have a 30-minute round, 1v1 cooking against each other to settle the grudge. You obviously, if you win, you get the vindication of winning. You get the other chef's knife that they put up. Each chef had to put a knife up to give up if they lost, and then you win $10,000.
Oh, all right. So then what was your grudge? Explain a little bit more, because this was another chef who was on season 19 with you, right?
Yeah, so Declan Horgan, me and him were super, super close in the beginning of the show and throughout. We're on the same team, the blue team, and we were like, hey, man, we got to get to the end and whatnot. And as the show went on and towards when my episode, when I had to get put up for elimination, he obviously could have voted for someone else, and he didn't vote for me. And I was like, damn it, dude. Like, come on now. Like, we're supposed to be together, you know? So it was like, I should have been in your space or in your spot, and I should have made it farther. And I always had that grudge that he took third place. So he did really good, and he got to move on. But I think it was getting to the point where he's like, yeah, if we keep Adam around, I might have a worse chance at winning.
So it was a survivor kind of betrayal.
Yeah.
Essentially, that's what they were calling it, the betrayal.
Ooh, yeah.
Well, but that is also part of the that's like part of these shows, though, right? Is like in anything where there is strategy on top of your actual skill set. Because obviously with Hell's Kitchen, it's the skill set of being able to cook well. But then there's also this other layer of alliances and whatnot.
There's so much that goes into those other like full-on seasons, you know, where you're living with people and you're dealing with them, the personalities and all that. And that's why this one is so much better. And it was just about the food and cooking, and there was nowhere to hide, you know. There's no like, oh, I'm gonna get saved or I got immunity or something. Just one round, 30 minutes, and it's over.
And so, the like you said, so what's at stake is bragging rights, $10,000, and the other chef's knife. But then what were the limitations as far as what you could or could not cook?
Yeah, so what happened is each chef had to bring an ingredient that we both had to use, but it was meant to trip up the other chef.
Okay.
So that was fun. I brought serrano peppers. They don't have serrano peppers in Ireland, so I knew that he might have a problem with that. And he actually ended up, he kind of screwed himself because he brought in Andouille sausage, which is like a Sicilian Calabrian chili, like spreadable meat, kind of like chorizo. And I'm 75% Sicilian, and I've cooked with it a lot. So
wasn't quite the curveball that the serrano peppers were for him. So what did you?
Oh, definitely.
What did you choose to cook then?
Yeah, so then right before we started the grudge match, they gave us the actual subject, and that was elevated diner food, which that's huge here, you know, Midwest and Milwaukee and like brunches and stuff. So super comfortable with that. So I ended up doing a steak and eggs. I love to cook steak. I had some things in mind, but really it was about just starting to cook food and then figure out what you're going to do. That sometimes happens when you only have 30 minutes. You just have to get the pans hot and get things marinated or get things started. So grab steaks, grab potatoes, stuff like that. Just do like, and it was an elevated diner dish. So it wasn't like I could just do like an omelet or like a, you know, like a steak bake or something. I had to really like turn it up. So I ended up doing a steak and eggs, which was marinated New York strip. I ended up making a shiitake mushroom and fingerling potato hash. And then I did poached egg on top of that. And then the thing that I used, the specialty ingredient the most, was I did like andouille, serranos, and like aromatics and stuff with butter and like blended it in the blender, kind of like hollandaise, but with no egg yolk in it. So it was kind of like a andouille butter that like got poured over the top of the egg and the steak and all that.
I want to eat all of that.
I know that sounds so good. So, but
that's
like,
gonna be my next thing. Everyone just go like, can you make that dish at Egg and Flour?
Yeah, exactly.
Can you have brunch? Can we brunch?
It's $10,000 a plate. Yes.
So
exactly.
Like, walk through some of, because obviously, like as you said, Hell's Kitchen. It's a whole season. It's a whole other thing. In a one-off, one episode, 30 minutes, in what you just described. So you don't know what he's going to bring as his surprise ingredient.
Nope.
So literally from the moment, like what is the timeline compared to what we see on the screen as far as how quickly you have to like think? And also, how do they have all of that stuff? Like how much food do they have on hand for you guys so to choose from?
So they're using the same studio, obviously, for all the battles, and they're probably filming those back-to-back-to-back every day or whatever. So they have a full pantry and all that stuff. And then the two special ingredients were obviously decided in advance so that we knew our own. So they have that ready. But essentially what they do is they bring you out. They do some filming like the where the – I forgot what it's called, but like it's just you in the room and they're interviewing you. They have it in every reality show.
The confessional?
Yeah.
You do a couple of confessional stuff, and then they're like, all right, it's time to go. And then you get suited up. You go out there. We saw the studio and the area where we're going to be cooking. And then it's like we did the special ingredients. 2 minutes later, they told us, all right, you're going to do elevated diner food. And then like a minute later, they're like, all right, get to your stations. Let's go. So it's not like planned. It's not scripted. They're not helping you out in any way. It really is like, if you watch other episodes from this season, there's like Top Chefs, there's Iron Chefs, there's Food Network stars, there's Michelin cooks, James Beard Award winners. Like they have chefs that are all over, so they don't want to make it easy.
No, and like I mean, I can barely feed myself dinner every night compared to like cooking under pressure like that and coming up with what you came up with. And so we're talking to Adnan Pollock, who is the Egg and Flour Pasta Bar chef owner, and also just made his second appearance on national television for Super Chef Grudge Match. So fast forward to last night. I was not able to go in person, but you had a big viewing party at Egg and Flour. I mean, how many people were there? Like 100?
Not quite that many, but there was a lot. It was a really awesome. I pretty much just was like trying to invite people I knew that would be like, all right, I'm going no matter what. You know, some people couldn't go. They had some things, but a lot of friends and family. We're closed in Bayview on Tuesdays as it is every week. So it was like a perfect thing. We weren't trying to like make a bunch of money or anything. We just wanted to hang out. I actually ended up getting a bunch of Ian's pizzas that were cold and everyone ate that.
Perfect.
Perfect. Perfect. Yeah. So big reveal.
Yes.
Did you win?
I did win.
He did win.
Yay! Do you have the knife?
It's at my house. Everyone was yelling at me last night because I didn't bring it. They wanted me to like pass it around, like on a like you know over my head or something. But I was like, no, it's sitting at my house in my knife bag. I'm gonna present it somewhere in the restaurant. I think put it in like a little case in a box or something so people can see it.
Adam, I'm curious, what kind of smack talk goes on in a cooking competition? I mean, do you mock like the way? Is that the way you whisk?
So. It's actually really funny. Like I always said, like if I go back on a cooking show or sign, I'm gonna be like crazy and all that stuff. But again, could not take myself to being a crazy TV person. And if you watch the show, it's literally him just talking crap the whole time, and me just be like, All right. If you say so. And then that, like, I had a couple one-liners, and when I rewatched, I was like, I sound like a 10-year-old like in the schoolyard trying to make fun of someone. Like,
it's so Midwest. Cool. That's so Midwestern. It's like you just like they're coming at you with all this smack talk, and you're just like, I'm just gonna keep making my food now because I got to make food now, and there we go.
Yeah, I have 20 minutes, and you're worried about me, and you know. So, but if you watch it, you'll see it's like very chill. Mostly just like, I'm just more excited to be there. You know, I could care less if I'm cooking. It's like, for me, I'm just like, I'm just going to make food. And, you know, now maybe is the time I should start talking crap on Twitter or something.
There you go. At Declan.
Now that I won, I that's my thing. I'm like, who wants to talk crap to someone with a chance of losing? Yes. You have to watch yourself lose after all that. So, like, it's not worth it to me.
Well, because you obviously, you knew when I asked you to come on the show, you're like, well, I can't really talk about it until after it airs. So you obviously knew what happened. But would you have thrown that big party had you lost?
You know, people were asking me, they're like, oh, we know you won because, like, you're having a party right now. And I still would have had one.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, maybe there were some people that I invited where I'm like, I just want them to see it, you know, go down and be a part of it. It probably wouldn't have been as big. Maybe it would have just been like, you know, 20 of my buddies or something to like console me after it. But
there would have been no pizza.
Yeah, no pizza at all. I would have been like, all right, no one's allowed to drink or have fun or anything. Just watch it and get out.
So I guess the big question is the grudge settled?
For me, it's definitely settled.
Okay.
I know that he was on live or something last night asking for rematches and having people say, oh, we got to get a petition going for a rematch. You go, dude, that's a rematch to the rematch. Like, that was the rematch. Like, go find someone else to be mad at.
So, I guess this is more of a serious question. Do you emotionally, do you actually feel like you're on the fine page, like, with him? Or is that kind of created the show?
I've always been good with it. Yeah, I mean, it's like that. It is, but it is like, dude, like, I should have definitely had a black jacket. And I promise you, I have no problem going against you 1v1 and let's just cook, you know, so.
Absolutely. So now that you've done two of these, what is it, do you think, being on the chef side versus the viewer side, why do you think competition cooking shows are so popular? Because there's so many of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think people, obviously, no matter what it is, cooking or whatnot, people like to watch other people do things that they can't do, right?
Yeah.
So, like, they're more excited to see, you know, that's why sports are so popular. That's why the cooking stuff is they want to see people go at it. And I think a lot of it might be they want to see people mess up more than they want them to do good. They're like, oh, I want to see them burn something, or I want them to not get all the plates plated up or whatever. And you get a connection to who you want to win. You know, you're like, oh, I want that person to win because I like their hair color, or I like how he was, you know, and then they get their connection and they're like rooting for someone. Then it is what it is. You know, they obviously have it down. There's no shortage of competition cooking shows on Food Network or other networks. So,
yeah, seriously,
they must have really good ratings. You're going to have to start doing competition cooking on your show.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I like
bring that,
idea.
We don't have a lot of equipment in this studio, but we can figure it out.
This just in, WAUK Studios burned to the ground.
Yeah.
So I guess before we have to let you go, is there anything you want to plug or promote? Any cooking classes coming up? Obviously, I always check out Egg and Flour. It's delicious. But anything else plate?
Actually, Mary Lou from Hell's Kitchen is coming in town. She comes to Milwaukee tomorrow, so she'll be here all week. We're doing a public thing at Bayview on Saturday that's open. And then Sunday, we're doing a 5-course dinner at the Public Market. You can buy tickets for on the website.
Ooh.
I have, it's a 5-course Southern fine dining menu.
What day is that again?
On Sunday at 5:00. You got to buy tickets on the market website. It's going to be really cool, really interactive, and she'll be there personal. I have the cooking classes on the market website that you can get tickets for. And I just released the Edelweiss Dinner with a View tickets for the summertime, where you get 5 courses on the Edelweiss boat, 3-hour boat ride.
You're a busy man, Adam. All right, well, I'm going to follow up with you so I can get all of those links and put them on today's show notes. But, and I will also link where you can watch. If you missed last night's episode, you can still watch it. It's going to air a couple more times. Adam Pollock, thank you so much for joining us today. Congratulations on your bragging rights, your new knife, and $10,000.
I'm just going to open old soda cans with that knife.
All right, stick around. Bye. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere, and Greg Bach
is in heaven.
Is that song bring you to heaven?
I'm a huge, huge Pink Floyd fan. Like, I know a disgusting amount about them as a band, about their records. And the reason I think Jane is playing it is because today is the 50th anniversary of the release of Dark Side of the Moon.
50 years.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yep.
You were clued in on that? Are you a Pink Floyd fan?
I was never. I mean, I saw their Animals concert at County Stadium when they blew up the pig.
Yeah.
That I'll never forget.
I have that on tape.
You really?
Were you there?
No.
I was say.
I was in my mama's belly.
He was a zygote. Oh, okay. Yes, okay. He was a zygote. He was there.
Yeah. No, I love that band. So David Gilmour is one of my chief influences as a guitar player. In fact, I think I told you this. My Catholic name.
Oh yeah.
One of them is because of him, not because of a saint.
No.
So, but yeah, thank you, Jane, for playing that.
You bet. And because we had a texter ask for that too, and reminded me about. The anniversary of Dark Side of the Moon. One traffic note I want to share with you. This is in Milwaukee. Westbound 94 is closed.
Ooh.
At 35th Street. And all it says is because of an incident. And as I check the map here at 511wi.gov, that looks pretty extensive. So you are going to want to avoid that area. Again, westbound 94 at 35th Street, closed because of all they're saying is an incident.
I'm taking National into Milwaukee.
I was going to say, I guess I will be taking a different way home, which is fine.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. Well, Greg Bach, what's coming up at the Laughing Tap this weekend?
Pink Floyd's coming to the Laughing Tap this weekend. Oh, my God. Can you imagine how much expensive those tickets would be? Woofta.
The more or less expensive than dinner at Public Market with Adam Pollock.
The dinner would be a drop in the bucket. Samantha Ruddy. Samantha Ruddy's coming to town. Three shows as usual. One Friday, two Saturday. Get your tickets. They are selling. Folks, I'm telling you right now. Tickets to the Laugh and Tap shows are going fast. You want to get those tickets right away.
This is like multiple weeks in a row.
Yeah.
You come here on Wednesday and said, we are at a low ticket alert.
Yeah. And the thing is like, I want you to come to shows, people. People, listen to me, people. I don't know why I'm doing it like a very bad bill. But yeah, come to shows, laughingtap.com. All tickets are $20. No drink minimums. I believe we have a clip.
I think we're going to legalize weed soon. Yeah. Yeah. You know, enough with this Ross and Rachel, will they, won't they? Right. Let's just do it. One of the only arguments you'll hear against legalizing weed is that it'd be bad for families. But I think cigarettes are way worse for families. Because like a ton of people have dads who went out to get cigarettes and never came back. My friend's dad smokes weed, never leaves the house.
There is just something very beautiful about that kind of writing. That's not, I don't want to say it's not prevalent, but in comedy nowadays, there's a lot of storytelling. There's a lot of shock. There's a lot of all these things. Hers is very much a set them up, knock them down, set them up, knock them down. There's a very 80s. And when I say 80s, I mean with all true respect to those great writers, those Wendy Liebermans and Gary Shandlings and writers like that, that I'm very much looking forward to. But yeah, laughingtap.com. $20, three shows, one Friday, two Saturday. And can I plug something else?
Sure.
A week from tomorrow, the 9th, is something called Carol Aid. It's happening at Milwaukee Comedy Sports, 420 South First Street. $30. Why is it $30? Because all money is going to our friend Dana Ehrman, who is a comic here in the city. Her mother is going through some health issues, and all the money raised is going directly to the family. So you will be, and there'll be items to bid on, or there'll be an auction. It'll be a really great time, but you got to get your tickets now because those tickets are going fast. So go to Milwaukee Comedy Sports website. They've got a link to that event. You can buy tickets there. If you're not doing anything else this weekend, come to Samantha Ruddy at the Laughing Tap. Come see me. Say, hey, Greg, I heard you on the radio. You say smart things. And I'll be like, who are you listening to? And then we'll have a hearty guffaw.
There you go. That will be great. So wait, Dana's thing is also this weekend?
It's a week from tomorrow. It's the 9th of March.
Okay.
So a week from tomorrow, March 9th, at Comedy Sports Milwaukee. Samantha Ruddy this weekend, Friday and Saturday. And then, on Sunday, actually, we're having a tribute to Nola J. Nola J was a Milwaukee comedian who died a couple months ago. So, excuse me, we're having a tribute show for her. Sorry, I'm not tearing up. I'm just like coughing a little. We'll be having a show at the Laughing Tap, $20. All ticket sales go directly to her family. And it's just going to be a real, I think there's going to be like 15 comics.
Oh, wow.
All doing like 5-10 minutes or so. And people who loved her, people who knew her. I didn't know her as well as a lot of people, but she was a lovely individual, the Nola that I knew. Very, very funny. Very off the cuff. Once she knew you were a comic, you were in. Hmm. And she was just lovely. So Laughing Tap, the information's on laughingtap.com for that. So once again, that's also another fundraising event we're doing.
All right. There's a lot going on.
Yeah, indeed. Comedy is always happening.
Comedy is. Recently someone asked me that. Oh, I know what it was. I got interviewed for something, and they were asking me about the Milwaukee comedy scene. And I go, well, let's just get it straight. I would like to do stand-up again.
Mm-hmm.
I have only done the Milwaukee roast since moving back. But I am not I would not ever call myself a stand-up. I don't do this regularly. I was like, and I do know that the stand-up scene is very healthy in Milwaukee.
Well,
and so
comedy's not healthy, but whatever.
But you know what I mean.
Yeah.
As far as it's robust.
Yes, yes.
As far as Laughing Tap, how many comedians live here? How many comedians are performing?
I mean, we have three comedy locations here in Milwaukee.
You want to plug them?
The Laughing Tap.
Yep.
There is the Interchange Theater down on 10th Street by Marquette, and then there's also Comedy Sports Milwaukee. So, and they're all different versions of comedy. So we do stand up. Milwaukee's Comedy Sports, they do short form improv, and then Interchange does long form improv mostly and sketch as well.
Mm-hmm.
So you can find at each of those locations a version of comedy that one doesn't, the other doesn't do possibly. Yeah. So you've got.
And the Interchange Theater is really cool. It's in the basement of a church.
Yep.
And it's a really cool theater.
It's
I've been
beautiful.
Over there. It's beautiful.
It's very beautiful. And yeah, support live comedy because you are, you know, we were talking to the individuals about the world premiere event. And I'm all about it, all about theater, but also comedy is art as well. And support live art, support live comics, support the scene.
Go laugh. It's good for you.
Exactly.
That too.
It's scientifically proven, just like a straw.
Just like the hiccup straw. All right. Well, that will do it for us today. Stick around for Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian and the Chad Holmes Show on WXCO. Come back tomorrow at 11 a.m. when we will do this all again. This has been As Goes Wisconsin.